We're doing Hilchot Shabbat. We're supposed to take care when we deal with our clothing. We're not supposed to create creases on Shabbos. Meaning, sometimes the way you fold something is it helps it stay with the right creases. I was at a talis store yesterday, and I recommend, by the way, you guys could do what I did. I went to Klil Tchelet, I think they're called. Something Tchelet, the talis store. Ptil Tchelet, yeah. And by mistake, I found out once that you could ask them for factory defects to buy talitot that have defects. And then when you look for the defect, you can't find it. The defect can be something so minor that you're looking up and down and you really can't find what the defect is. And that's what I did. Meaning that they're not only kosher, I was able to buy a talis that's valued at over 600 shekel for 300 shekel. I'm saying the discounts are ridiculous. So I looked at the different talitot that he had there. And then when I was done, so I folded up the talitot to put them back. And then I see him undoing what I did and redoing it. So I said, why are you doing that? And he said, you didn't get it exactly right. I said, I didn't realize there's this huge difference in how you fold it back. I thought I got it close enough. So he said, no. He said, what happens is, if you don't get it exactly right when you fold it back, so then it doesn't have the right creases, and when people open it up, they feel like this isn't such a nice talis, and I can't sell it, and I can't send it back to the factory to have it re-ironed. So I take the time every time someone opens a talis, I personally fold it back, because just like you, people fold it back and they don't know how to get it exactly right. They get it almost exactly right, even. And that makes all the difference. He said, it could cause me not to sell a talis. So that's this halacha in the laws of Shabbos, that we have to be careful. Sometimes the creases make a big difference, if you fold it on the crease or not. This can be true with tablecloth. This can be true with a talis. That's why many people, when they fold up their talis on Shabbos, they fold it up indiscriminately. They won't catch the creases like he did. They'll fold it indiscriminately, and sometimes it will be on the crease, sometimes it won't be on the crease.
Most people don't fold their talis like that. You know, the point where it's
on the crease.
It's centimeters,
right. So I used to. I did. When I was younger, I did. And it kept the talis very nice. Except for on Shabbos, right? So some people leave the talis unfolded. And that's not always so nice. If you take a shul talis, and even with your own talis, that's a formula for getting it stained. The Hasidim say two things. They say a segula for having shalom bayis is on Matzei Shabbos right away after Avdalah to fold up your talis. That's a segula. If you don't fold it on Shabbos, a segula for shalom bayis is right after Shabbos, fold it up. So that's point number one. Point number two, the Hasid comes to the Rebbe, and he says, Rabbi, I heard it's a segula that on Matzei Shabbos, if you want to have shalom bayis, you fold up the talis. And the Rabbi says, but there's a bigger segula. He says, what's the bigger segula? He says, Matzei Shabbos, you wash the dishes, you clear the food, and you also fold up your talis. So that's, okay, so back to when we fold things, so we're supposed to take care not to grab it by the crease, not to align it exactly, so that you're not fixing the vessel as you deal with it. We're moving on to the melacha of minapetz. After they would clean, launder the wool, so then they would comb it in order to remove the thorns and debris that were stuck in the wool. And so that's a isul d'oraita. To comb something in order to clean it out would be an isur d'oraita. And that's why some people say that combing a wig can fall under this. that the idea of minapets is a way of combing wool or hair. And even though when you comb hair, it's not the same as when you comb a wig, it's not like combing the hair on your head, right? On your head, it might be your the hair on your head. But a wig, some want to say that would be an extension of minapets. We're moving on to the task of tsoveya. So after you've cleaned the wool and you've combed it, the next thing you do is you dye it. So dyeing something is a task called tsoveya. We usually dye the wool when the hairs of the wool are still standing separate, because then each hair absorbs the color better. Later on, you're going to work on combining those hairs. But a better way to dye the wool is if you can dye it when it's still in the form of separate hairs. And that's why tsoveya comes before tove. Even if you're going to use that hair, those hairs to making string, to making a wool string, you're going to, or if you're going to make a garment out of them. So let's say you're making strings with which you will weave, right? You will weave or sew. You still would prefer to dye it beforehand, because then every fiber has the color. As opposed to dyeing a thread, a string, at that point you're dyeing it when the fibers are attached to one another. It's much harder for the color to penetrate. So that's why, ideally, they would color the hairs when they're still attached to the wool. So soveya is when we color something. If I were to paint something, that's also tsoveya. Tsoveya isn't only when the color gets absorbed, like it gets absorbed into the sheep's hair, but also drawing would fall under the task of tsoveya. Tsoveya even includes if, let's say, you have toilet bowl cleaner, and when you flush the toilet, a blue color goes into the water. And you want that. That's why you bought that toilet bowl cleaner. People say, I don't care. If you didn't care, then you could have bought the one that has no color. People buy the one with color because it looks nicer. And that is part of a person's intent when they have that toilet bowl cleaner in their toilet. So that's also, that falls under the category of tsoveya. We generally say, ein tsviya be'ochlin, that when it comes to food, we're not concerned with the task of tsoveya, but even that's not such a blanket rule. Our assumption is you don't care about the color. But what happens when you're a parent that wants your kids to drink a lot of water? You should want that in the summer and year-round. And you know that your kids will only drink the water if it's called Kool-Aid, if it's called Petel. So what do? You take a little bit of Petel, you put it in the water, and now it has a color. And the kids, very often, once they see the color, they ignore the flavor. So then your real intention when you're putting that petal in the water is to color the water. Ordinarily, we say, because I'm not interested in it. But that doesn't permit us to use food coloring on Shabbos. When my whole intention is the coloring of the food, then I run into a problem of tzvia be'ochlin. Then there it can be problematic. People sometimes will use... I don't know the names of the spices, but there are spices, I don't remember the name, maybe cumin is orange yellow? Yeah, there are spices, what? Tamarack? Maybe, I don't know which spices, I don't want to say names, because some of them are definitely there for flavor as well, but there are spices that people just put for color. So when we say Ein Tzviya Be'ochlin, that's the assumption that I'm doing this as part of the preparation of the food for eating. But if I'm doing it for color, for example, where I run into this problem is on the Seder night. There are opinions that say that red wine is superior to white wine. And it's preferable to go with those opinions. I personally like the flavor of white grape juice more than red grape juice. So what I do is I add a little bit of red grape juice to my white grape juice, and now my white grape juice became red. The pasuk says, "Al tere yain ki yit adam." So the Pasuk in Mishle describes wine as being red, and that's why there are opinions that say that red is the preferred color for grape juice or wine. So if I add a little bit of red grape juice, I can still retain the flavor of white grape juice and observe the opinion that says it should be red. But I can't do that on Yom Tov, because I'm really doing it to color, that my whole intention is the color. I don't want the taste. I really don't like the taste. There's room to be lenient. I don't see why a person should. So you do what I do. You prepare it before Yom Tov. That's what I do. Food coloring is again a problem. So Veya begins with coloring the hairs of the wool, and we extend it to drawing or coloring. Even on a piece of paper or on a wall or coloring a vessel. And then we extend it to coloring a liquid that we won't drink. And then when it comes to food, we ordinarily say Ein tzvia be'ochlin, but there are exceptions. And we will continue with those exceptions, Bezat Shem, next week. Yes, Benny.
Oh, I was going to ask about the color of the wine. I have read opinions that it is allowed.
Okay. I didn't say there aren't opinions that say